This is the Sporkful, matching cutlery bonus mini calls show edition. I'm Dan Pashman. I'm here with my friend Kenji Lopez-Alt of Serious Eats. He's the author of The Food Lab, Better Home Cooking Through Science. Hey, Kenji.
How's it going?
That seems to roll right off the tongue.
Yeah, it was snappy. It was concise. it's clear what you're talking about. It's perfect title.
There you go. I don't know if all the characters will fit in the podcast app description. I think no one's going to have any idea what the episode's about when they click on it, but we'll hope for the best. So before we get to the phones, I was curious to ask you, you have started doing a really fun, cool kind of video you've been sharing.
Oh, right, yeah.
Where you basically, what is it, you strap a GoPro camera to your forehead and videotape you, listen to me, videotape,
stuff,
I sound like my father. you basically videotape yourself cooking often while drunk.
Often while slightly tipsy.
Right. And I should say, just so listeners can understand, the camera's on your forehead, it's kind of like almost like a light. Imagine like a light that a miner would wear, a forehead lamp,
yes.
Right? That's how I picture it. And so what you're seeing as the viewer is I'm seeing your point of view.
Exactly.
I'm seeing everything you see.
Yeah.
So
what?
How did this come about?
Well, it's just, you know, a lot of people ask me what I cook when I'm home alone or, you know, do I really cook the things that I write about? And the answer is I generally don't cook the things that I write about. You know, maybe I do sometimes when I'm actually preparing dinner for friends or whatever. But when I'm just trying to make a snack for myself, it's just improvised. It's like what I find in my fridge and put together in whatever way I think is going to be tasty. And so I decided one day, you know, here's an easy way to answer that question. I have this camera sitting on my desk. I'll just stick it on my forehead and cook something. And then it turned out people liked watching it.
I'm curious, when you edit it down, you're now watching the footage.
Yeah.
You're like watching the replay of your own cooking.
Yeah.
Has watching yourself cook ever changed the way you're going to cook the next time?
I mean, I'm usually drunk when I edit it too, so it's hard to say.
So maybe I need to get you drunk before you can answer this question so you're in the right frame of mind. What do you think? Should we go to the phones?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Claire from Irvine, California.
Hey, Claire. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. What can we do for you?
I'm calling because I am not sure what to do ethically in terms of finding seating at counter service restaurants. And I realize that this sounds kind of like a silly niche question, but you know, as
silly, Claire, have you listened to this show before?
Well, that's why I know you're perfect and you're my kind
right.
of people.
All right. So you're talking about counter service, like you go up and order at a counter, you pay at the register, and then you wait for your food, but there's no server.
Exactly.
So you're having a struggle with yourself. What do you see as the two sides of the argument?
Well, so I think in a perfect world where we are all dining brethren, one would stand in line, place their order, and then take a seat. But because a lot of these new restaurants that are, you know, hip and trendy are using this counter service model, they're often really busy, and so getting a seat is kind of tough. And it seems like some folks will take a seat and, you know, have somebody in their group hold on to it and then go order. And I've always kind of felt like that was cutting in line. But then I think we've all had that moment of having a tray full of delicious-looking food, turning around and not being able to find a spot to sit down at. So I'm trying to work through, you know, should I strive for a utopian dining community where we're all looking out for each other, or is this more of like a dog-eat-dog, get in there, get your seat, have your delicious food kind of situation?
Right. And, it is interesting as a general matter. Researchers have found that as resources become more scarce, people tend to be less willing to share.
Mm-hmm.
So the more crowded one of these places gets, the more seat saving you're going to see.
I hate to admit it, but I judge them a little bit, and I think that I don't want to make enemies out there, but I kind of think that it's a slightly selfish thing to do.
Let's look at this from a practical point. So the ideal world should be that everybody who has a tray of food gets a seat to sit at. Obviously, that doesn't happen all the time because there are not enough seats in most of these places. So in the one scenario where people save seats, some people are able to immediately get their food and eat it while it's still fresh. Other people end up getting kind of screwed over because they have to hold on to their tray longer or they have to go outside and eat or whatever. In the second scenario, though, everybody is going to have to wait to get a seat. There's nobody who's going to get a tray and immediately be able to sit down because there's already a line of people in front of them waiting to sit down
There's actually a third way, which is what Claire identified. You go to the register, you order your food, you pay for your food, and then once you're waiting for the food, then it's okay to go find a table. And that's kind of a middle ground.
But in a busy enough restaurant, you'd still end up in that same situation where if everybody waited until they ordered their food before they started looking for seats, you'd still end up in this situation where everybody ends up with slightly cold food because they have to wait for that next table to open. The question is it better for everybody to be slightly disadvantaged, or is it better for some people to have the perfect experience while other people are more disadvantaged?
You mean like if we were to, let's say, pick like the top 1%?
Yes.
And give them some special advantages. And then the other 99%,
yes,
they would just like get dog food in the alley.
Yeah, or a cold hamburger or whatever it is. Yeah, exactly.
If only there were a real world experiment that we could see how this would turn out. So, Claire, I mean, Kenji and I are going back and forth here. Do you have something to add based on what we're saying?
Well, I guess the way in a perfect world, I feel that the restaurant should have some type of system. I've had friends, now that I've gone public with this sort of issue, friends send me pictures of restaurants that have signs up that say, please order and then take a seat. So I think some sort of structure would be appreciated.
One of the things I've seen more and more is the high table with no chairs, the standing table. Mm. That takes up less space. More people can squeeze around it. I think it's also partly designed to keep you a little bit uncomfortable so that you will leave even faster.
Right.
So that to turn over that space for others, but still give you, at least you got somewhere to put your food down. You're not eating out of your lap. What do you guys think of the standing table?
I like standing tables. I mean, I ate lunch at a standing table today at Prince Street Pizza.
I think that's perfectly fine. If you can, you know, create more space so that everyone can eat these foods that are suitable to be eaten in this way, then that's, it's kind of a win-win.
It should be chairs for everyone or chairs for no one.
So communism is what you're advocating now, Kenji.
Yeah, well, from the beginning, yeah. I mean,
you don't want chairs only for the most fortunate
1%. I'm into fairness.
Okay. Yeah. I don't like the standing tables because I just don't like eating standing up. And I also don't like the feeling that the restaurant is putting that much effort into getting me to leave. Like, as it is, this is any kind of place that's going to have, like, it's not going to be a long meal. I'm not going to sit there for hours. Like, let me have my extra 5 minutes to sit at my table and have a nice experience while I'm there.
You're saying, though, that the motive of the restaurant is to get you to leave. What if they're trying to get the maximum overall happiness as opposed to the maximum individual happiness? You're taking their actions to mean, oh, their goal is to push me out as fast as possible. Why does it always have to be about you, is the question.
I think their goal is both. They're playing to the middle. They're trying to get a decent experience for as many people as possible without having a great experience for anyone.
Right.
I would rather have a place with tables. You know, if you know a place is super crowded and you really want to get a seat, you can go there at an off time. You know, you can plan a strategy. If you put forth the extra effort, I think that effort should be rewarded. And if you're going to put in that kind of strategy to get your spot, then the seats should be there for you.
Zombie apocalypse. You're with a group of 10 people. You're locked inside a supermarket. There is a single can of baby corn left. Inside that can are 10 pieces of baby corn. Now, you could divide it evenly. Each person gets one piece of baby corn, and maybe it'll make you each last an extra day. But you know for a fact that there's a helicopter that's going to come to save you in 10 days. Do you give that whole can of baby corn to one of you so that they can survive the full 10 days and be rescued by the helicopter? Or do you divide it evenly, knowing that dividing it evenly is going to let everybody die?
Did you just come up with that spur of the moment? That was really good. Is this a question you've been pondering for many years, Kenji?
I think it was an episode of Walking Dead. Maybe.
Claire, how do you respond?
I think I would be so stubborn that I would divide it, knowing that it would be our downfall. I came into this conversation knowing that I didn't know what was right or what was wrong. I need your help.
Let's render a verdict here, Kenji. What's your take? Where's the line? What is ethical?
I think, so what is ethical is to be fair. So ideally, yeah, they set up rules, you follow them. If there are no rules set up, I think what is ethical is to wait. But I also know that we live in reality. And so I think it's okay. If you can live with yourself and your friends can live with you taking that seat at the beginning, I think it's okay to do that.
So if everyone else is fighting to the death for the last can of baby corn, you're going to take up arms.
I think one person should eat the corn. Yeah. Yeah. One person should eat the corn.
I would say a couple things. First, I actually disagree with the idea of the rule that says don't take a seat until you've ordered. While I like that, I that kind of thing annoys me, that sign, because it's never enforced.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to be enforced, and someone's going to do it anyway, or they're going to truly not see the sign or pretend they didn't see the sign, and that just creates more tension. And then you really feel a deeper sense of injustice because you feel like someone has violated a clear rule.
They're doing it knowing that it's wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it hurts all of us. I feel like more harm than good comes out of that sign. I do think the best solution is for you to order your food and then look for a seat, because there is a delay between the time that you order and the time that your food is ready. In many of these places, there is a high turnover rate. There are often tables coming free. Yes, if it's super duper crazy busy, you may not get a seat. But if it's just at that level where every seat is full, but there's not many people waiting for a seat, and you order and you hang out for 3 or 4 minutes, chances are someone's going to get up. So that's what I feel. Oh, but one caveat to my rule. I think that if you're with small children or elderly people or people with disabilities where getting a seat is really a high priority for them and they really need a seat, then I think reserving more aggressively is okay.
Absolutely.
Right.
All right, Claire, do you feel better? Have we resolved this?
I think I do. So the next time I go out, I will order, hold my little number, look for a seat, and feel that I'm somehow ethically on the up and up.
All right, Claire, at UC Irvine, good luck with your studies. Take care.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, Kenji, that was a lot of fun, as always. Always great to hang out with Sporkful listeners and with you. Of course, folks know Kenji is from Serious Eats. His book is The Food Lab, Better Home Cooking Through Science. Good to see you, Kenji.
Yeah, good to see you, too. Thanks a lot for having me.
This show is a production of WNYC Studios and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani, Shoshana Gold, and me. Editing help from Dan Charles. Music help from Black Label Music. Special thanks to Paula Schumann. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Rain Kernitsky from Santa Cruz, California, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.